Welcome to Gleaning and Gathering. My name is Eric Heimlich. I'm your host as usual. And I am thinking today about transitions and about new opportunities that are unfolding. So this hasn't made it into any newsletters yet, but for those of you who are regular listeners to this podcast, you know that over the past few weeks and months, I've been thinking about the transitions necessary in my life to really focus, to be able to go to what I feel like is what God's calling us to. And that is the work here at Victory Acres and developing it as a place of hospitality, healing, discipleship. And so I started that process a few months ago by resigning from, or beginning the process of resigning as director of urban ministry from Evangelistic Faith Missions. And so we had an ongoing dialogue with the leadership at EFM, where we've been missionaries and working for the past 8 years, to see if the mission and vision here at Victory Acres was significantly aligned with the work of EFM, such that we could continue being part of the team at EFM, and we could focus here. That was my intent. In resigning our urban ministry area, we had been working kind of in three main areas with EFM since we began. First of all, in the area of urban ministry, and as urban ministry director, overseeing the works that were going on in the various cities. The second area was in the area of donor development, and there really wasn't anything going on in that area when we first joined in 2015, and so developing that and in endeavoring to kind of move that system that we built forward was one aspect of our work with EFM. And then also developing Victory Acres as a resource for urban ministry. And so we developed the Nehemiah Discipleship Program. That was something that's been developing, continuing to develop over the last 3 to 4 years. So really feeling like that, you know, as these different areas were growing, there were more lights blinking on each one of the dashboards on all of the different areas. And so with the health problems that I had this past spring and having my first ever panic attack, it was kind of a wake-up call for me that some things needed to change in my life. That set the ball rolling, and this past Friday we met with the EFM Board of Directors, and they voted not to bring Victory Acres into the family of ministries that EFM is over, and therefore not to retain our family as part of EFM. And so a chapter in our life is ending, and there's a new chapter ahead. I'm not completely sure what all that will include. And I'm trying to let the dust settle and the smoke clear, so to speak, at least in my own head, before I figure out what all that next step should look like. And I guess that's got me thinking about this whole idea of transition. You know, transitions are difficult, and I don't know where you've been at in this sort of situation, but if you haven't been through a transition yet, you probably will at some point. And so I think that the thing that I'm learning, and again, I haven't had too many large transitions in my life. We started out with Victory Inner City Ministries 24 years ago when we started the organization. Basically have remained with whatever is that entity. We merged with the EFM, obviously, in 2015, and so our city ministries are part of that, but there really hasn't been a whole lot of transition in that sense for me from one organization to another. And so this is new, but it is also in some ways not a transition in that we're still with Victory Inner City Ministries, that is Victory Acres. We kept the board, the entity in place during the transition in 2015, and basically that became what was left of it was Victory Acres. We retained the property here. That was not part of the merger, and we retained the board. We retained that function. as executive director. And so even though for the past 8 years that's been minimized, as our work with EFM has been our main focus, it's been there. And I'm thankful that in 2015, we did keep that in place. I'm thankful that Victory Acres is still a safe place for our family, that we're not having to move suddenly, not having to make any sudden changes, that we left that door open. And so while there's a number of challenges, Victory Acres obviously is not in a place to be able to support our family, and it's not an employment situation. Our work here primarily is as a volunteer director, but God has given us a wonderful opportunity to be able to share life with just some great folks that are part of the gathering at Victory Acres, which is the congregation that meets here. And I'm pastoring that congregation right now. The NDP program will continue, and we'll be able to host that here at Victory Acres, and that will be something that we'll continue to lead and develop. There's a number of things really in our lives that won't change. And so because of that, it has made us able to take a next step without having to suddenly be wondering, where are we going to go? Where are we going to live? What's going to happen? We're surrounded by a group of people who care about us deeply and are surrounding us, supporting us in the decisions that we're making. And so because of that, we're not alone. And I think that's one of the first things that I see about transition, is that if you don't know who your people are, and you come to a point of transition, you really begin to see who has your back and who doesn't. I think that for me, recognizing that in this time of transition, that we have a people and they're not going anywhere. They haven't abandoned us. And even though there's transition in one aspect of our life, in a large part, we are still connected to the people that at the deepest part of us really are our people. And I'm talking about the people here at Victory Acres, the people that we share life with on a daily basis. I know that many people don't have that in their lives right now. And maybe you feel like when you come to a point of transition, you have to figure it out all by yourself. But a number of months ago, as we were beginning to start down this road and think through this process, this is something that we laid out to our church family in detail and talked through and prayed with them about it. And you know, I think that's an incredible value. I don't know about you, but I can convince myself of about anything that I want to convince myself of. And that's what scares me. You know, every winter, you know, you begin to feel that call to Honolulu, Hawaii. You know, it's like, there's just this this human fleshly part of me that, you know, I could probably make a case for moving to Hawaii and why God is calling me there. And, you know, I could make it sound really spiritual. And the reality is, I don't have any business doing that. And I need to be surrounded by people who will look me in the eye and say, Eric, no. You know, look, just sit down. You're just tired. It's cold. And it's not very nice outside, and yeah, someplace warmer sounds better, but you don't have any business doing that. People who are willing to just tell me the truth and cut through all the stuff that I may want to throw out there, and who know me well enough and who love me enough to really tell me the truth that I need to hear. And if you don't have those kind of people in your life and you haven't surrounded yourself with those kind of people, then I'm sorry for you, because that's what you need. The challenge in leadership is that the higher you go, the less and less people are willing to call you on anything. The less and less people you have who are willing to really look you in the eye and tell you the things that you need to hear and are willing to ask you the questions that you need to be asked. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, as Lord Acton said. There's a caustic kind of effect that happens in leadership. And it happens in politics, it happens in business, it happens in the church, to where people are not willing to ask you the things that you really need to be asked, or that somebody in your life needs to be asking. They don't feel like they have permission anymore because you've climbed far enough up the ladder that now you're inaccessible, or, you know, somebody else probably is asking you those things. But are they? Because if they're not, you're in a dangerous, vulnerable place. And I think that it's unfortunate, but many leaders buy into this philosophy that, you know, it's lonely at the top. Well, it doesn't have to be. And if there are people around you that can help you think through things, and you're honest with yourself before them, and open to and humble enough to receive the input that those people can provide, there is help to be had. There's help there. But, you know, too often what I hear is, you know, people who they reach a conclusion and then they just play the God card. And, you know, in playing the God card, it trumps all the other cards. You know, if you say, to begin the discussion, you know, well, we feel like God is calling us to X, Y, and Z. What are people supposed to say to that? How are they supposed to argue with God is calling us to do this? And I'm not saying God can't call us to that, but I am saying that many times if we're not careful, we play the God card far too quickly. And what happens is it just shuts down conversation and shuts down the kind of questions that probably need to be asked. Are you just out of sermons? It's January. You're tired of the weather. You're ready for someplace warmer and nicer. And so, you know, God is calling us to Florida or wherever it happens to be. And he may be. It may absolutely be, but how do we discern that? And are we open to discerning that together and seeing that will of God confirmed through God's people? Because it's been my experience that the wisdom of Christ many times is revealed through the body of Christ. And when we allow God's people coming together prayerfully to discern what it is that God is truly saying, there is, in those multitude of counselors, there is safety. There is a confirmation of what God may be putting in our hearts. And there is also a check on the rashness that we may act in if we just act in our own wisdom. If we're only just leaning on our own understanding and just trying to put God's stamp of approval on it. And I think that in transition, having a community that can really help you to discern prayerfully what really is God saying in this moment, and endeavor to walk with a sense of carefulness through that, it can be incredibly helpful as we are submitted to that. And as we are willing to allow the grace that God gives us in community to be able to speak into our lives and into our family's lives. You know, last night we were playing Pictionary as a family and had just a crazy fun time. I love those times. And this weekend was Rochelle's birthday, and we were celebrating her on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, really all weekend. And it was a beautiful time. But as we were kind of in the middle of this game, a discussion started. And in the discussion, we were talking about our family and next steps. And as many times these deep discussions began, it just kind of began with a question, and then it just continued for the next, you know, 30, 45 minutes. As we talked about, when in our family has there been a time where we feel like we really just were hitting on all cylinders. We're just, this is where we shine. And I shared with the family that I feel like some of those times have been times of hospitality, times that together as a family, we have been able to minister together, have been times where we have hosted people or been hosted by people, not always just them coming to our place, but us being a part of other people's lives, but times of hospitality. I remember one time we were in Michigan in the Upper Peninsula, and we were staying at a place, and we threw a party at this place that we did not own. It was a place on Lake Michigan and beautiful overlook. It was a place called The Bluff, and it, just a beautiful space. And we thought, you know, we should have a cookout. We should have a party. And we invited some of the people that were nearby. And I remember just the wonderful, beautiful time we had there as we served as hosts, even though we were in a guest space. And it was just beautiful. And we, together as a family, were in that. And together were just enjoying the fellowship of the people that were there, but also creating an atmosphere and a space and a welcoming environment that developed relationships and created just this wonderful opportunity to be able to really grow deeper in the Lord and to just see new things, experience new things with people in this place. And there have been numerous times here at Victory Acres when we've been able to welcome people and do that. And there's something about that, you know, that ministry of hospitality, that ministry of just making space, whether it's just a meal or whether it's a longer term retreat, but a time that people enter deeply and intimately into our lives. And the way in which that not only shapes us, but it leaves a mark on their hearts as well. And Samuel was recalling tearfully, really, Frank's last birthday. Frank turned 61, and he was a man that I had met sleeping in a crack house in Indianapolis originally, but he ended up coming to Victory Acres originally from Kentucky. And we had the opportunity of hosting Frank a number of times here. He was an alcoholic who several different times came and would get dried out and was really doing super well. And then the pull would be there, and he would leave Victory Acres for a period of time and fall off the wagon. And then he always knew this was his safe place, and he would come back here. And for quite a few years, I had a picture of Frank on his 61st birthday sitting at our dining room table, surrounded by our children, celebrating with us and us celebrating with him. And when we got the news that Frank had been found dead under a bridge, it just broke our hearts. And not only did that experience mark me, but it marked our children. It was a time where, for them, their little hearts opened up. And Frank was not just an alcoholic in recovery. Frank was our friend. Frank was someone who sat at our table and who was part of our life. And it shaped them. Knowing these people shaped them. And so, whether it's hospitality from the margins or whether it's hospitality of people that are part of our congregation, hospitality for us is something that is incredibly important. And I feel like it's something that God wants us to lean into in this new season. And so we were talking about that last night. We were just dreaming about and thinking about how can we make that more a part of our life, and how can we be more intentional about the ways in which we open up our home and our lives to people and make space for that. Not in the sense that we want them to even necessarily come to our church and become part of that, but how do we open up our lives to students at college that are from overseas and can't go back home during the holidays, to foreign exchange students, to people that are here in our community that are alone and find themselves hurting and alone during this season in their life. How do we, as a family, do that in a way that would glorify God, whether anybody else knows about it or not? How do we approach this as a kingdom opportunity and really lean into that? God's given us a wonderful space here to be able to share life with people and space to open up and welcome people. It's a great place to seek God. It's a great place to get alone with God. And increasingly, in this noisy world, people need a space where they can just get away from the influences that are all around them and shut off their phone and be able to really just hear and see what God is doing. And so we have spaces like that at Victory Acres. We have cabins. We have a prayer chapel. We have a mile and a half of trails that are cut through the woodlands that people can walk and be together with God in this place. And we want to be a blessing in that. We want this place to be a place of victory. We want this place to be a place where people find hope and healing and where disciples are made. That's the desire of our heart. And so in focusing here, I'm not completely sure how our family is going to be supported as we move forward. And we're talking about that. Does that mean that we need to get another full-time job so that we can do this on the side? Or is this something that God's calling us into and that He will provide a way where we can throw ourselves into this full-time? I don't know. The desire of my heart is to be able to continue to develop this space, this place, as a place where people are developed as disciples, where leaders are encouraged. And I can see us being able to host families that are going through challenging times and them being able to come here and think through next steps and grow and being able to do that in a way that would bring glory to God and would benefit the kingdom. The question of whether or not we can do that and be able to make that a life work remains to be seen. I don't know. But a few months ago, as I was praying and thinking this idea for a Center for Resilient Leadership came to my mind. And I'm not going to blame it on God or say this was an inspiration from Him. But I got so excited about it. I wrote, 10 pages of notes and sketched out this whole vision of a space where we as a family could be family on family with another leader that would be able to come here to Victory Acres and really think through the next steps in their life over a course of 3 to 4 days and be able to leave with a specific, actionable set of next steps. Regardless of their business, regardless of their ministry, to be able to think through life and marriage and to be able to think through family in a holistic sort of way and to be able to find a path to move forward. One of my favorite leadership books is A Resilient Life by Gordon MacDonald. He uses the picture of a race, and particularly a long race, to describe the picture of what life and leadership looks like. And most people are familiar with his book, Ordering Your Private World, which is a great book, by the way, and you should read it. But that was written before a moral failure in MacDonald's life. And I think that having read Ordering Your Private World, agree with all the principles that are there. But I think there's something that's lacking there. And that is that every leader, no matter who you are and where you're at, you're going to run up against pain points in your life. There are going to be these things that you're going to encounter. And for every leader, depending on your personality, it's going to be different. But there are those things that you're going to run up against, those obstacles, and you're going to be like, how do I get past this? I don't know how to get beyond this. And for many leaders, what happens is that it isn't necessarily in your area of strength. You may be great at what you do, and you know your business is going gangbusters and everything's going fine, but your marriage is falling apart. And you reach this point where it's like, what am I supposed to do? I'm winning at what I'm supposed to be doing, at least what I thought I was supposed to be doing, and yet here I am. I'm losing at the things that are most precious to me. I'm losing my wife. I'm losing this closeness, this intimacy with her. And what am I supposed to do? And where do I go from here? And somebody else may be dealing with, you know, my marriage is going great, my family's good, and all of that is fine, but I'm just stuck. My business is kind of plateaued, and I'm really out of options. I don't know the way forward. I just can't see it. And so they're dealing with that. And wherever that pain point is, wherever it is that they come to, as I talk to leaders, and many times as I talk to them at a very deep personal level, there are the areas that they want to tell you about first. You know, oh, things are going great. It's all good. It's all sunshine and roses. And that's the beginning point. That's the stuff that is in the showroom window, so to speak. But as you begin to listen a little closer and dig a little deeper, many times what I find is there's nothing in the stock room. When you ask them, so what are you reading? Well, you know, they obfuscate and hop, skip, and jump around that. And the truth is they're not reading anything, or at least nothing much. They're not continuing to grow. They're not continuing to sharpen their saw. When you ask questions like, so what are you doing to really develop your relationship with God? Tell me about that. What is God teaching you right now? How are you growing? Well, you know, I have my devotions. That's wonderful. What other means of grace are you employing in your life? There's not a whole lot there. And when you begin to dig into the issues of marriage, so how are things with you and your wife? Are you growing in that relationship? Are things progressing and you're excited about how God is bringing you together in closeness? And instead of finding that there's a deep reservoir of health and healing, and that they're giving out of the overflow, you find that there's lights blinking on that dashboard. And while publicly everything is fine and it's all seemingly good, they're dying on the inside. Who is that band of happy few? Who is that group of people that you're sharing life with, or that know you at a soul level? That band of brothers. Who are your friends? Who are you spending time with? Who are you praying with? Who really knows you at that level? And what I find sometimes, not all the time, is that after you get past the sunshine and roses pitch, you find out that everything is in the showroom window. There's nothing in the stock room, or at least very little. And it's troubling. It's troubling because there's no way you can continue to grow in your business. There's no way you can continue to develop in your ministry and do the other things that need to be done if these things are not attended to. Anyway, so I having had these talks, these conversations with different ones, and seeing the need not only in their lives but in my own life to continue to cultivate a depth and a sense that I'm not just a person that has everything together in a public sort of way, but someone who is truly continuing to invest in my marriage, invest in my family, invest in my relationship with God, and invest in my personal growth journey that I'm reading, that I'm developing as a person, that I'm continuing to cultivate that, and to be able to make some of those things that have been helpful to me available to other leaders, knowing that they're probably going to be helpful to them, regardless of what business they're in, regardless of what season of life they're in. Having a time of solitude and a time of reflection could benefit anyone, regardless of their experience or business. And so I've got this this dream, this vision of how we could welcome people in that way and use a ministry of hospitality to where for these 3 days they're here, you don't have to worry about meals, you don't have to worry about what you're going to be necessarily doing. This is a place of grace and a space that you can just be with God. And whether that's you spending time in solitude or whether that's our family spending time with your family in specific times throughout that, but thinking through where are we at right now? Where have we been? And then together, where could God be taking us next? What are those specific next steps? And then having some coaching calls after that to talk through and to be accountable for these specific goals that they have set in their time here at Victory Acres. And doing that with a small number of leaders, having a program similar to what we've done with the Nehemiah Discipleship Training Program in the summer that focuses on leadership and leadership development and helping them think through, who am I, what gifts has God blessed me with, and how can I be adding value where I am, and what are the next things? How do I get past the specific challenges that I'm facing right now? But endeavoring to share this space in that way with that group of people, and doing that together as a family with a limited number of leaders, and doing that here in this space that God's blessed us with. And so we're thinking about that. You know, a number of years ago, I was blessed to be able to go through a training program with Zach Clark and leadership development coaching. And it was transformational for me, not only in the skills and abilities that he helped me gain in the area of donor development and fundraising, but also just thinking about life and leadership in a different way, beginning to help me have a new paradigm for thinking about leadership and development. And really those two things go together. I remember one of the things Zach said was, you know, if you walk into a room of leaders and ask the question, how many of you feel like that God has called you to steward this organization? Every hand goes up. And then he asks it another way. He said, well, how many of you feel like that God has called you to steward the relationships with the people who will give the resources necessary to make this work happen? And nobody raises their hand. Like, oh, that's fundraising. That's a bad word. You know, nobody wants to be a fundraiser. And yet, whatever business you're in, that's really where it's at. Are you willing to steward the relationships with the people who will give, or the customers that you will have in your business that will make the work that you're doing possible? Because that's where it's at. It's all about stewarding those relationships well. It's not about the money, as Terry Mundy points out in his famous book by that title. About 90% of people have a negative perception of organizations. They think they waste money. They're not trustful of organizations, nonprofit organizations in particular. So why do they give? They give because they trust someone in that organization. I'm not sure about organizations, but I know John. He's going to do a good job with this. He's somebody that I can trust. And so people give to people. They don't just give to organizations. They give to people. And so how do we steward those relationships? Well, that's the question, really, in any organization. Because it's not about the money. It's about how are we doing at thanking and reporting, at truly investing in those relationships in a way that builds trust over time. And so, you know, I'm excited about the possibilities, but I'm also just thinking in terms of this transition, having people around me that I trust, having a sense of God's vision that He's putting in my heart for the next steps is something that's still developing. And I just think in these transition moments, it's important not to move too quickly and to just jump to the next thing out of reaction. And so I've taken some time over these past few days to reflect and taken some time to look at the big picture of life and really ask the question, Lord, what are you calling me to? And not just to do that by myself, but do that together with people that I trust. Because right now, yeah, there's a lot of feelings that, humanly speaking, I could act upon. But that's not necessarily wisdom. And so what do I need to do right now in this moment where I'm standing right now? I really need to spend time with God. I need to spend time with my family. I need to spend time with those that are closest to me. And through that process of discernment, really look at what is the next step? What is God calling us to? And then begin to make that actionable. What are those specific next things that we need to be doing? And as we do that, and as we continue to take those next steps, I'm excited to see where God's going to take us in this next season of our journey. And I'm 45 years old, and I've learned a few things over these past few years. But I think one of the things that I'm seeing is that as I enter this, you know, third quarter of my life, whatever comes next, the lessons that I've already learned are going to help be the fuel for this next stage. One of my mentors described it like, you know, it's like that first and second stage of a rocket. There's a lot of fuel that's expended in that first stage for very little movement. But as it begins to just slowly pick up speed, you know, you come to the end of that first stage and all that fuel has been spent. But now that rocket is moving at, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 miles an hour. And when that second stage kicks in, now there's very little energy expended for an exponentially larger increase in velocity. And I feel like that's kind of where we're headed for right now. We're just getting ready to have that second stage booster kick in. And all these lessons and things that God has taught us through that first stage of life's journey are really going to begin to move in a new and focused direction. And I'm excited about that as we're getting some of these things off of our plate and able to focus in more clearly on what it is that God is leading us into. And as we're still in that process of discernment, and making sure that this is really the point that we need to be emphasizing, the thing that we need to be doing. But as we do that, and do that with focus, and do that with clarity, and do that with all the energy that God has given us, I believe that God is able to take that and cause it to bear fruit. And so I'm excited about it, and I'm excited to see what God does. There's a sense of expectation, and I'm thankful to be just kind of a little tiny part of God's great big work in the world. And the more that I go on, as one guy said, you get into business by saying yes, but you move further by saying no. And I feel like that's where we're at right now, is that point where, you know, we've moved beyond just saying yes, yes, yes. And now as we're beginning to say that no, that holy no, to things that have been there, great opportunities for someone, I'm sure, but they are not central to what God is calling us to. And as we're saying that holy no, we are able to say a more complete yes to those things that God is calling us into. And that future is exciting. I'm excited to see where God takes us in this next season. And so I appreciate your prayers, and also just appreciate your time. Thank you for taking time to listen to Gleaning and Gathering. And if you haven't yet, I encourage you to subscribe on whatever service that you are getting your podcast. I know that over half of you are listening there on Apple Podcasts. And so if you'll subscribe to the podcast, and if you'll also rate us, review us, that will help others to be able to hear what you're hearing as well. If you find it helpful, great. Share that with someone else. And if you don't, there's plenty more out there. So I know that there's lots of content, and we are a very little fish in a great big pond. And so we're not aspiring to those levels. But if you do find what you're hearing helpful, rating us, reviewing us will help us to be able to be found by others. Thank you again so much for listening, and hope you have an amazing week. God bless.